As we prepare our hearts and minds to hear Peggy read the scripture, would you pray with me the prayer of illumination that is printed in your bulletin? Eternal God, even as you were with the ancient authors and poets when they wrote words of wisdom, stories, and parables, be with us today as we ponder the deep truths of these words. Bless us with an understanding of how the ancient author can speak to us through the centuries and bring us a message that will offer us hope, reassurance, and guidance as we travel our faith journey. Amen.
Good morning. Our first reading from Genesis continues the saga of the Bible's most famous and possibly most dysfunctional family. The descendants of Abraham, Jacob, has tricked his twin brother Esau out of his inheritance and has run away because he has reason to believe that Esau is planning to murder him. He arrives at the farm of his uncle Laban, asking for a job and a place to stay. I read to you from Genesis 29, verses 15 to 28. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were lovely, and Rachel was graceful and beautiful. Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to any other man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife that I may go into her, for my time is completed." So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be her maid. When morning came, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Did I not serve you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" Laban said, "This is not done in our country, giving the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you other also in return for serving me for another 7 years." Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife. Our second reading from Romans is presumed to have been written by the Apostle Paul. Imagine Jacob's family, or your family has met Paul. You have heard that he is a very wise preacher. You share with him that your family seems to have drifted from God and ask if there's any advice. Listen to what Paul has to say. Romans 8, 26 to 39. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foresee, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those he called also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not be with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God bless us with the understanding of these portions of Holy Scripture. Amen.
If you were here last week, you know that I kind of promised you to continue the story of this most famous family and most dysfunctional family. Previously on Genesis, Sarah married Abraham, and after many unsuccessful attempts to get pregnant, she finally said to her husband, "Since I can't give you the heir that you wish, why don't you sleep with the maid?" Abe was only too happy to oblige, especially since the maid was younger and good-looking. She gave Abe a son, and they named him Ishmael. Of course, wouldn't you know it, after Ishmael was born, Sarah did get pregnant by Abraham and gave Ishmael a half-brother, whom they named Isaac. Sarah then threw Ishmael and his birth mother out of the house. When Isaac was still a child, his father, Abraham, tried to kill him, claiming it was God's idea. The plot was thwarted at the last minute, and Isaac grew up and married his cousin, Rebekah. They gave birth to twin boys, Esau and Jacob, who fought tooth and nail. They never did get along, even began fighting.